We sing that last song. In my flesh, I wanted to end it on, He is our God. And He said, you need to finish that. Because without us, He's just God. But without people to worship Him, He's just God. He was God before He created the heavens and the earth. But He created the heavens and the earth for man, for His pleasure. He could have left it just at a big domain. But He made us so He would be a God who was worshipped. He desires to be worshipped. Without us, He's just God. Now that doesn't sound like a bad rap, but it was for His pleasure that all of this came about, so that He would have people to worship Him. He wanted people to worship Him up close and personal, so much, so deeply, that He sent Jesus. And He sent Jesus as an example. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but He was also the example of life in the kingdom of God, with God's principles and God's way of doing things. And when I was praying this morning and I was going through a thank you list, but I began to be impressed to thank God for His life, for what God had done in creation and what God had done, and there's a lot of things you can go through then, and all of the things that He did, and all of the examples that we have in His Word, and I began to realize He did all that just for me. You see, it's so personal. He did it for us. He did it for each individual, so that each individual could grab it and believe it and walk in it. And then He sent Jesus. And when I think of Jesus' life, we always think of Jesus' life and it gets cut into two pieces. It gets cut into, He was born at Christmas and He was resurrected at Easter. And the emphasis becomes on, we try not to do that, but the fact is that religion, and what a tool of the devil. What a tool of the devil to get people to think, when we were singing, the more I seek You, the more I find You. And I want to sit at Your feet, and I want to just get so close to You. What a tool of the devil, what a tool of religion that tries to say, well, you can't get that close, or you can't get close to God, He's just God, and to try to keep us in the outer court or outside the wall or whatever. What a tool of the devil, and it keeps people from getting close to God. And God just said, don't believe that lie. You can't go too far. And don't worry about it. Leave anybody behind that you have to leave behind. Get close to God. Because if you go close to God, if they got a brain, they're going to come with you. But if they don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold you down. Don't let anything tear you down. Because if you do, you'll miss what God has for you. I tell you that when Joshua broke down and Joshua began to question his faith, I was ready to just say, well, I must be a failure. I don't have any business ministering, but God said, hey, he was fine until he was 21. He's not in your house anymore. I'll tell you something, that since that time, I've been on a pair of high-speed skates getting closer to God. I've also noticed that as you get closer to God, you lose some things off of your life, and sometimes you lose people out of your life, but it doesn't really matter, because He's so good. He is so good. But when you think about Jesus' life, he was born. Hallelujah. We celebrate His birth. But we forget about what happened with His birth. We forget about, kings came to minister to Him. He was the King of Kings when He was born. Kings bowed down before Him. Wise men bowed down before Him. Some kings wanted to kill Him. What's new? But in his kingdom, he was the king. He was provided for. He was led by angels. His parents were led by angels. We know that he grew in grace and favor with God and men. And at 12 years old, he had sought the Lord. And so he astounded the religious leaders, because apparently he sat with them and said, I think God's more than you guys are telling us. I think he's got some things for you if you just seek him. What could they do with this kid? And then we lose track of him. For 18 years we lose track of him. And then boom, he's in ministry. Folks, he had a great ministry. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he calmed the storms, he cast out the demons. I mean, everything. He fed the hungry. He fed people that weren't hungry. He fed them more than they could eat. He gave to the poor. He had an entourage that followed him and supported him, and he didn't have some miserable, low, beggarly life. But isn't that sort of what the ideas of religion? He was a servant. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't need a place to lay his head. Every place was his place. He walked into town, and I guarantee you that tax collector didn't live in a bungalow. He had the nice place in town, the tax collector did. Where did Jesus go? He went to the tax collector's house. He stayed wherever he wanted to. And it wasn't so we would go, you can't have a home, or you can't have anything like that. That wasn't why. He came as a light. His life was a light, an illuminated life for all mankind. That was the way it was supposed to be. And then, at the end, he was beaten. But they couldn't take him till he said it was okay, could he? Could they? They couldn't even touch him. When they came to take him, they fell down when he said who he was. He let them tie him up. But he had a purpose. He had a reason. It was us. Thank God for that. He was wounded for our transgressions. Thank God for that. He was bruised for our iniquities. Thank God for that. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Thank God for that. By his stripes we were healed. Thank God for that. That's awesome. But that took place over a period of 4 or 5 days. He was arrested. He was beaten. They still couldn't kill him. He gave up the Spirit. He was victorious all the way. He died, and we know that when he died, what happened? He went into hell and whooped the devil. Defeated death, rose back up, and now he's right back on top again. Right back on top again. And getting ready to go to the top of the top. Has a few more lessons to give him, breathes on him, says, receive the Holy Spirit. And boom, he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, to do what? Intercede for you and me. And as I was getting excited and praising him for that and thanking him for that, and I'm saying, God, all the emphasis on your death and your suffering, he said, that's normal. Because people tend to focus more on the trials than they do on the triumphs. He said, I've told you all of this in John 16. I've told you all of this so that you might have peace. Peace. That state of well-being. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everything I came to show you, I've overcome. And now to get people to walk in that. The devil uses religion, wants to keep God way out there somewhere. Okay, believe in God if you want to, just don't walk in victory. Don't expect anything good. You get too much good, other people are going to be thinking this is good. Okay, we'll let them have a big old celebration for the birth and a big old celebration for the resurrection, but we'll make sure that their main focus on that resurrection is how he suffered and how they must suffer too. We'll keep them suffering. It's not really what people like to do best, suffer. But that was never God's intention, that we suffer. He became poor that we might be made rich. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer. There was no suffering in the garden. None. Nada. Not one moment of suffering in the garden. Until Adam and Eve turned over the keys to the devil. God never intended. Why would he create people to suffer? That would be like building a car so it wouldn't run. It'd be like taking pictures to see out of focus you could get them. It'd be like carrying a pail of mud into a house when you go to clean somebody's place, Diane. Well, I'm here to fix things up. Be like taking in foster kids to abuse them. Now, grant you, some people seems that they do all of those things. It'd be like tearing the letters in half before you put them in the mailbox.
Putting them in the wrong boxes.
Yeah. But it would be, you know, something to cause yourself grief. Why would he create people to suffer? Why would he take pleasure in your suffering? Why would he take pleasure in your pain? That would not be God. And yet, that's what people have been led to believe. God has planned some good pain for you. Wait till I tell you. Wait till you get it. Oh, you're going to hate it. But trust God. He'd be schizophrenic if he created problems and then wanted you to ask him to fix them, wouldn't he? He would be really mixed up. I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to serve a schizophrenic God. Okay, so is this the time you hurt me, or is this the time you're going to help me? Is today my hurt day? Today my help day? Is this the day you teach me with a cat of nine tails? Or is this the day that we play? It'd be like playing Russian roulette every day. Yeah. Click. Oh, well, this will be a good day. Lord, we need your help. You know, I mean, see, we need to look. We need to really get understanding. Because understanding is what opens doors. And we get the understanding by really looking at the life and the example and then believing that that really is the preview of what God had in mind. You know, If you have a Michael's infamous with his CDs of they play for a while and then after he stuck his fingers on them and who knows what else, you know, they'll get skips in them. And up he'll come upstairs with a stack of them and he'll turn on the water and he'll start washing them off and then he'll say, like, Mom, help me out here, you know. But he knows that if he gets them cleaned up, if he gets them clear, they'll probably play again. Now, sometimes they get so messed up that they don't play. But he will do whatever it takes to get it to play again. And this is the thing. We can't be so easily moved from what we know is right, from what we know is true. We can't allow the enemy to put up those things and allow those things to blow us off target. But we have to hold fast to the thing that is true. I was talking to someone today, and he was talking about that he had been ill, and now he's getting better, and I've always talked to him about praying for him and things like that. And now he said he had to have another surgery. He had to have sinus surgery because the doctor said he's only getting about half the oxygen that he's supposed to get when he sleeps, and so he's always tired. You know, I said, well, you know, I think that probably be real beneficial to get the oxygen to really feel good. He said, yeah, the oxygen and drugs. You know, probably he's got some things that he's taking for that. And I said, you know, I've tried the drugs for a long time. I said, it's just a facade. Well, no, I said, yeah, that's just a facade. And he said, well, the oxygen or the drugs? I said, the drugs. I said, I got God. I don't need a facade. Don't need anything made up anymore. Don't need some utopic thing. I've got the perfect place with God. And if we become confident that God really is the perfect place and that He will make all things perfect, then we will sit in that place and we'll believe that. He said, listen, I said all of this stuff. I said all of this so that you would have peace. Don't let the enemy steal your peace, no matter what form he comes in. Don't let him steal your sense of security that's in Christ. Always go to the rock. Always go to the rock. And if you tumble off of the rock and you find yourself full of garbage and spewing garbage and all kinds of stuff, roll back. Back up the tape. Get back to the rock. Because he's ready. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive the sins. Just get it over with. Don't stuff it. Repent of it. Don't just push it down and think it'll get better. Get it done right. Because if you get it done right, then it can't keep coming back. And he can't keep stealing your peace because you got it done. And you can say to the devil, I got that done. I am going on with God. I am going to take my place in the kingdom of God. I am going to rule the kingdom that God has placed me in. I am going to experience God's way of doing things. Nothing's going to stop me. I don't want to. If we don't look at what God has done and what Jesus did for us and respond to it the way that he intended for us to respond to it, then we make it of no use. And then our life speaks, it's useless. There's really no benefit in it. Not that I'm going to heaven. Tell me, who will benefit from your going to heaven? Except you. Unless you lead many sons to glory. Unless your life shines so that people want to come. You see, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people to me. If I be lifted up, if my way of doing things, if my life, if my benefits, if my joy, if my love, if my peace, if my kindness, if my goodness, if that is ruling in your life, man, people are going to look for me, the Jesus higher. We can't say I'm going to heaven and live like hell. Because then people say, well, if he can go to heaven, well, anybody can go to heaven. That's true. Anybody can go to heaven. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Last minute, last second, cry out to God. Great. But he offers us the keys to his kingdom here on earth. And with those keys, we open up the doors. With those keys, we open doors for other people, because we are dwelling in the kingdom of God, where we have all the rights of a citizen of the kingdom. And God's kingdom is pretty awesome. And it's not way off out there somewhere. Everything belongs to Him. There's nothing that's impossible for Him to take care of, for Him to get to you. There's nothing, nothing that He can't do. There's no sickness that's beyond His ability to take care of. Nothing. There's no need that He's not able to provide. But we have to dwell in the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He lived that. And yet so many times when people consider Jesus' life, unless, you know, I mean, we've read the Bible, we've talked about it, we know that He did miracles, we know that, but most people, they wouldn't focus on that or the things that Jesus did. And in fact, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people don't even know things that Jesus did. I talk to people sometimes and I just assume at least they've heard Bible stories. And it doesn't take long to figure out, no, I don't think they do. Monday night we went over for teen court and there was a gal there, and you know, I'm talking to this gal's got her throat's all clogged up and she's talking about medicine she's going to have to take and stuff. And I said, would you like to be well? What? Do you have some special formula? I don't know, I just pray for you. Oh, that would be nice. And I said, okay, so do you want to be well? Well, how about Sudafed? I said, go ahead. Go with Sudafed, that's fine. I walked out, I came back a little later, and she's talking to somebody about this sickness that she owns. I said, would you like to be well? And she started talking about something else. I said, you know, I tell you what, thank you so much. You have really just blessed me. I understand more fully now why Jesus, to the person at the pool, said, would you like to be well? And I said, you have just shown me. I asked if you'd like to be well. Now, in that time when Jesus asked the man, he said nobody to put him in the water. You know. And I could, all of a sudden I realized she didn't have any idea what the Bible story was. So I got to tell her a little bit about that. But then I said, so bottom line, would you like to be well? Well, if you'd like to pray for me, that would be real nice. I said, that's good enough for me. Jesus, healer. You know? And I said, okay. I left and I'm gone. I come back to you. And so I said, you feel better? Well, I'll tell you in the morning. I said, why do you want to wait till morning to feel better? You're going to feel better. You feel better. Don't you feel better? Well, he's talking about something else again. So we're just getting ready to leave. And I said, well, how are you doing? Be healed. Well, I will. I said, no, not will. Be healed now. I'm healed. I said, praise the Lord. That's all I wanted to hear. Sorry, Lisa. Roger healed me. I said, no, 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 no. Roger prayed for you. Jesus healed you. But, you know, I mean, she did go from that would be nice to actually saying the right thing. So, praise the Lord. But, you know, people don't know. How will they know unless somebody tells them? And if we're going to tell them, then we need to be both feet in the kingdom when we're telling them, just simply because if we aren't, it'll be like, you know, they'll take what we tell them and they'll batter us with it. When we start to walk in that kind of confidence, we better have both feet firmly in the kingdom, or they'll convince us that we're wrong. They'll convince us to look at the symptoms rather than look at what the Word says. But when we're firmly in the kingdom, we've got that confidence. God says, I got this handled. Now we're walking like Jesus walked. Now we're doing, we're saying what, like Jesus said, I don't say anything but what I hear the Father say. I don't do anything but what I see the Father do. Oh man, He'll never leave me. He won't ever fail me because I always do what pleases Him. Oh dear God, I'm going to be there. Make it so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when we consider the life that God wants us to have, let's look at the life that Jesus lived.
Right.
And let's look at the life that He lived. Not just His birth, not just His death and His resurrection, but the manifested life that He lived for us. And He lived it for us so that we could live it the same way.
Right.
And that's not so far-fetched. When He told me to finish that song, and He said, you know, His exact words, I wouldn't be anything without you. I said, oh Lord, that's a little bit out there. I believe you, but I don't want to say this. Just say it. I just said it. So see, what's a king without a kingdom? What's a loving God if nobody loves Him? He's just God. If we don't love Him, if we don't nurture this relationship with Him, then He is just that God that religion says that He is, way out there somewhere, where He don't want to be. I mean, you can hear the cry in His voice when He said to Israel, what more could have I done? And yet, you wouldn't love me. What more could have I done? Well, I say, Lord, you've done enough for me to love you. And you just go right on ahead and bless me. And go right on ahead and make my life sheer joy, and go right on ahead and knock down the demons that get in front of me, and go right on ahead and dispatch the angels to protect me, and go right on ahead and provide prosperity for me. You just go right on ahead, Lord, and I'll tell you what, I'll be a bigger mouth than I've ever been to just tell everybody how good you are, how capable you are, because my God is no facade. Amen? He's real. People perish for a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. They perish because they don't understand what an awesome God He is. They perish because they don't apply kingdom principles to any given circumstance. Because they don't believe that you can bless those that curse you and love those that hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Because they just don't believe that that works. Bless his heart, I remember Reed used to get so mad at me. He said, this is weak stuff you're talking about, Roger, you know. And I knew he didn't mean it. He just wanted to see if I'd keep standing on it. I said, man, it ain't weak. It's powerful. It's the most powerful thing, you know. And I thank God he died knowing real power.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't thank God he died, but I thank God he died knowing real power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if I had any faith then, I might not have let him die. But I might have had guts enough to bang on that casket and get him up, huh? You never know. John G. Lake did it. Strap people up and bang them off the wall. Live! Yeah, well.
I was writing to Daniel the other day, and the Lord gave me this really picture of, you know, I mean, he and other people that he has been ministering to, their lives are just a big fat mess. I mean, they're all scrambled up. They got more trouble than they got.